Assault.
That's the Zold, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I'm going to start out with a couple of apologies here this morning. Not that I need to offer any apologies, but just got to let people know. Number one, God bless Mark Harrington and Created Equal. I'm getting some feedback in my ear. God bless Mark Harrington and folks at Created Equal. And I think Richard Rapp was involved with it. I believe Mike Blake was involved with it. I know Lexi's involved with it. Other people that who are part of the huddle here took part in an event that my friend Mark Harrington at Created Equal put on the last day and a half. Wish I could remember the name of it. I put it on my calendar. I was going to go, but it was a training session for people on how to go out on the streets and minister. He did a training session on Wednesday night. I got my days right. On Tuesday night, yesterday, Wednesday, they went to the streets. They went to downtown Columbus. They went to overpasses. They went a lot of different places. They held signs. Mark took out his Jumbotron. They showed him pictures of abortions. He had a great turnout, and it was my plan to go. I planned all along to go and be part of it. I always try to support everything Mark does. But I got to be honest with you, folks. I told my wife I can't go. I said, I have to rest. I'm not griping. I'm not moaning. I'm not complaining. I should be in OSA, Operation Save America, is going on in Milwaukee. They're having great impact up there. 400 people out on the streets. I ought to be there. I ought to be there. That's where my heart is. But I had to rest, man. I just had to rest. And I'm starting to recover a little bit after six pretty hard weeks of ministry. And most of you out there, I know you understand. I'm not whining. I'm not moaning. I'm not complaining. The reality of it is my wife pulled me aside and sat me down and says, listen, you're not 35 years old anymore. I need you around. So I've been piddling around up at Sky High, and I've been doing some manual stuff. I'm trying to get that place a little more cleaned up. But the mental aspect of going out and being out on the streets and everything involved with that, I had to call a timeout. Okay, I just called a timeout on. So God bless Mark Harrington and all that he's doing. I'd throw this suggestion out to Mark. And again, OSA, you know, we have to be careful because we all, and I'm pointing this finger right at me. Can you see that finger? It's coming right at me. We schedule things without checking with our friends and see if they have anything else scheduled. We schedule on top of each other. It can only be one place at a time. And sadly, we're dealing with a very small, growing, but small group of activists. And we hate to have them have what I would call mixed loyalties. So I wish there was some type of clearinghouse where all of us in this battle for culture, a clearinghouse where we could post our dates and where we're going to go and what we're going to do, because there's a lot of other people I'd be happy to join forces with out there. So I just want to start with an apology that I wasn't that Created Equal. Wonderful event. I'm still banned on Facebook. Two more days, I think. I tried to get on Facebook today. And Jared, if you can, go to Mark Harrington's Created Equal website, a Facebook page. This may take a minute for him to get up there, but I want you to see that Mark, I appreciate Mark so much because he's cutting edge. And he's over the last 4 or 5, maybe even 10 years, I don't know how long it's been, he's focused his attention on getting the next generation. With his justice tours, Lexi, as you guys know, Lexi's involved with it. We've had Austin Bigel on here a number of times. Mark calls himself a radio activist. But Jared, if you just click on right there, Jared, keep on going down. This just shows pictures of them. They're out on the street and everything. But they have a team photo that they took on their training event that they did the other night. Keep on right there. There, Jared. There you are, man. Yeah, I tried to make that picture bigger and couldn't. Maybe you can. But there you see, Mark had a good crew, man. He had a good crew of people. And I know Mike, as I said, Mike Blake was with him. And I think Richard Rapp was down there. And, of course, Lexi was right in the middle of it. And God bless you, Mark. God bless you guys and all that you're doing down there to train up the next generation. Because I'm 66. I'm 66. How many more years do I have? How many more years do I have before? Well, I think I'm probably already there where a lot of young people just say, well, he's an old man. Well, look, how old is he? He's 60. He's an old man. So at some point you get, sadly, we don't respect experience anymore. We put old men in nursing homes, old women in nursing homes, call them old folks homes, and put them out to pasture, and we lose all the wisdom that they have, and we don't honor and respect the efforts that they put out to make everything get to where we are today. And so it's important we build a legacy, a group of people coming behind us who will understand what we're all about. If we don't get the next generation, we'll say it again. If we don't get the next generation, we're cooked. 15 years, 20, look, do 20 years. What is this, 19? See, I get stuck in 19. 2019, 20 years ago, was 1999. Who was president in 1999? Does anybody remember who was president? I do. Does anybody remember who was president in 1999? It was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was president in 1999. That wasn't that long ago. 20 years from now, somebody else is going to be president that we don't even know who that is. So in 2039, in the year 65, if men are still alive. Remember that song? Well, we're going to be in the year 2039 and 20. As close as we are to Bill Clinton's presidency is how close we are to 2039. That's staggering, isn't it? And so I noticed in the last election that a lot of us gray hairs voted for Trump, and a lot of the non-gray hairs voted for communism. So we are in a world of hurt. They're going to try to outlast us. They're going to try to run out the clock on us. And how many more election cycles do we have? And who comes after Donald Trump, whether you like Trump or not? If Donald Trump gets reelected and he becomes president of the United States from 20 to 24, who will be president of the United States in 2025? That should cause us to tremble. The way we see the culture heading, that should cause us to tremble. So it's been my, I made the decision years ago. I was going to sit back and retire, enjoy my retirement, which I could do. Go sit on the beach and swim all day, play golf in the evening, and sit around my wife and watch the sunset go down. I could live out the rest of my life like that. I could sit around here and just be grumpy all day long and take my kids fishing and grandkids I'm speaking of and just be their grandpa and just live out my days right here in peace. I could do that. I chose not to do that. And I don't know what the future holds. I don't know if Hillary's sending her assassins after me. I don't know if there's nobody knows tomorrow, right? Nobody knows. But we better understand that time spent is forever lost, man. It's forever lost. And every day that clock goes around, every time that sun comes up, we're one day closer. I'm one day closer to my eternity. And so we cannot determine how our days will end. I'm sorry. We cannot determine when they will end, but we can determine to a degree how they will end. It's really the choice many of us have to make. And the Bible tells us that a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and it's not money. It's not money. When I die, somebody's going to be living in this house. It isn't going to be me. I'm going to be here. Nice place. Multi-million-dollar studio. Nice place. Somebody's going to be living here. It won't be me. It won't be Michelle. As much as we don't want to believe that. My dad died in 2003, I think it is. How long has that been? Dad's been dead for 16 years. 16 years, I'll be 82. Be about my turn, maybe. I talked the other day about playing the long game, baby. We got to play the long game. And that long game means going out and capturing the next generation. And for the life of me, I do not know. I'm going to say this in all love and all kindness. I do not know how any human being, any Christian mom or dad, could ever put their child in public schools. I have no, I just, I'm not going to go down that one, but I just, the evidence is overwhelming. Overwhelming. I don't know how they do it. Jared, go to the calendar real quick. Got a couple new things up there. By the way, yes, I am feeling better. Not that I felt bad. I got to tell you, sometimes you're tired and don't know it. I ran into a woman the other day. I took my grandkids out to breakfast, and I went to the waitress at the place I took them. And I said something you should never say to a woman. I said, "You really look tired." And I said it to her because I could feel the burdens that she was carrying. She was being a waitress in the morning, has a family, I'm sure. And if you have a family, we all have all kinds of burdens. And I didn't mean it in a bad way, but I said, "Man, you look really tired." She just looked at me and her eyes welled up. She says, "Yeah, a lot going on." And me and Davey and Reese, we prayed for her right there in the restaurant. Not that it mattered. But when people see it in your eyes, sometimes you can't see it yourself. I needed a break. Feeling better. Praise the Lord. Comments, anybody? You don't have to. Please don't call in and tell me. Please don't come in and tell me how wonderful I am. We love you, Coach. You're doing just such a wonderful job.
Hey, Coach, you need to take a break, brother. You need to take a breath. Smell the coffee. Yeah. You're all in it. You're on fire.
I'm in, buddy. I'm all in. I got my war uniform on today.
Hey, Coach.
But sometimes you got to realize you're tired. Sometimes you got to realize you need a break. Yeah. Yeah, Joe?
We have this issue with the left, and been mainly because of our schools.
Yeah.
Okay. How do we re-educate the people to the dangers of what they're trying to do?
Man, that is the multi-million, $100,000 question, Joe.
Yeah.
That's what I said. How can any clear-thinking human being, maybe that's the problem. How can any clear-thinking human being think public schools are safe for children? I mean, we know they're teaching the homosexual agenda, right? We know they're doing that. We know they are. We know that the mention of the name of Christ is not welcome anywhere in there. We know that every bit of the education they're getting in those schools is not Christian. It's all anti-Christian. We know from experience, me being one of them, seeing how our children turn away from Christ when they go to college, the indoctrination. You look out on the horizon, and who's out there? Who's fighting against Christians? Well, it's the young people. Everywhere you look, it's the young people. So especially, dare I say it, young women. It's young women that are fighting against Christianity. Where did they learn that? No. We know where they did. But still, we fund the public. Hear our pastor talk about how wonderful their teachers are, the public schools are. And Michelle Estes, Chad Estes's wife, is a public school teacher. And I praise God that she would teach my children. God, we need women like Michelle Estes, like my wife, teaching schools. But they have to do it secretly. They have to sneak the truth in. They have to teach things that are mandated from the top down that are anti-Christ and anti-God. And churches and pastors cheer our public schools. It's not all of them. It baffles me. Just absolutely baffles me. Go to the Therefore Conference, Michael. Mike's coming around the corner, isn't it? Boy, oh boy. We all know about that. Get your tickets. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. That same weekend, Chad's having a Salt and Light Brigade fellowship at his house. I want to say three cheers for Chad Estes. He is the most dedicated Salt and Light Brigade leader in the history of America. And Chad's having an event at his house July 26th, 27th, and 28th. Chad, I'm going to send you a check for that, by the way. I probably shouldn't say that. I was going to send you some finances to do that. Chad, is there anything that you'd like to come in the first, Chad?
Okay, I had to unmute myself. Dave, I just want to invite people to come out. It's okay if you bring your kids. We have kids there. We're trying to reach the next generation, right? So we have a lot of children already there, probably six kids come. ball bearing at different ages and stuff. We got stuff for them to do, so they're welcome. Also, we just ask you to bring a chair and a smile. We're ready to go and enjoy yourself and leave all your anxiety at home, because we're gonna have a great weekend here coming up. So I'm really excited about this. We got a lot of new people coming last meeting, and we got several new people coming again this meeting. And so I'm excited to say the least.
Amen, Chad. And we salute you, man, for being such a faithful Christian man, faithful doing this. And
Dave, really, I got to give the credit to, you know, people in the queue and the other people that are coming, you know, Hawkins Brian and Anthony. These guys are coming. They're consistently coming. They're out recruiting. They're beating the bushes. And so, you know, I'm just the front man on the mic, you know. And so it takes some, you know, all of us to be able to make this happen. So there's a lot of unsung heroes, Karen as well, you know. So I just appreciate all of them.
Amen. Amen. But don't ever forget this, Chad. They judge a coach by his team, and you got quite a team going on down there. So, folks, if you're anywhere close down there, July 26th, 27th, 28th, go to Chad's. All the details are right there on the website. Again, Mike Spaulding's conference is that same weekend. We talked about that. I'd love to see some of you there. We have a huddle coming up August 2nd in Mansfield, Ohio. Greg Jevnikar is putting that thing on for us up there. There it is, the details, Friday night and Saturday. If you can't make it both, make one of them. Greg's contact information is down there at the bottom, his phone number, his email, and we're going to have us a good boot camp running. And then we got a good huddle coming here in Buckeye Lake, August 16th, a huddle with Coach Dave in my local area here. Mike Blake and Norm, Coachy, and some of those guys, they're the ones who are setting this thing up, and all those details are on there as well. Mike Blake's in charge of that. He's got his phone number. He's got his email address. And let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together even more as we see that day approach.
Dave, I want to get in here about Mike Blake a second. You know, for all you guys that are there in the Central Ohio area, you know, Mike runs a men's breakfast, or I think it's men's and women's breakfast, but they meet every so often and stuff. And so this is kind of some stuff outside the box that it doesn't take a lot of money or anything. It just takes guys driving to a local restaurant there and hanging out and having that little bit of fellowship every week or so. So tip my hat to Mike and them and Coach Norm.
Amen. Amen, baby. God bless you, Chad. Appreciate it. Hey, folks, I told you yesterday, Planned Parenthood's on the ropes. Jared, can you pull that up there first thing on our calendar today? Hey, stick with me. I got some good stuff for you, okay? Got some good stuff for you. Stay with me today. Promise you. Hey, you know something. Last 2 days have rocked, haven't they? The revelation in the last 2 days, it's been something. And it's all good, and it's going to be good here today, too. Our local Columbus Dispatch, I love it, man. Folks, we have got to understand, we have to be able to read the tea leaves. We have to be able to understand momentum. We have to understand when we have the other team by the throat. Now, look at this. This is our local Columbus Dispatch. Planned Parenthood taps national emergency funds to preserve abortion referrals. Now, I want you to think about this, folks. If you were to pick up your phone right now and you would call your local Planned Parenthood and you were to go looking for women's health care, whatever that would be, whether it be mammograms or pap smears or contraceptive, what else? Somebody help me here. What else would be included under women's health care? Let's take abortion out of it. What, Michelle, what kind of health care do you need up there? Does anybody know what kind of health? Somebody, Michelle, what kind of health care? Health care. So can somebody help me? What kind of health care do women need? By the way, why doesn't Planned Parenthood have a men's health care? Don't men need health care? What kind of health care? Don't men have aren't men involved in pregnancies and making people pregnant? How come Planned Parenthood just deals with women? Come on, help me again. What is health care that the Planned Parenthood would be providing? Does anybody know?
Coach, the Planned Parenthood in Manchester, New Hampshire, does hormone therapy for men that are gendering or crossing or wanting to be a woman. And they also have transgender orientation and referrals and counseling, so that there's a whole list of this weird stuff.
Well, hang on. Hey, Matt. So transitioning from a man to a woman, how's that planning your parenthood?
I don't know. Doesn't have any. Last I knew, that's genocide, Coach.
Okay, that's not planning your parent. That's not planning parenthood, is it? Okay. So again, I wanted to get into this article a little bit, Jared, because if you scroll down, they try to tell us, see, they're dumb enough. For those of us who go to the abortion clinic, to Planned Parenthood in particular, we know this is all bogus and this is all a lie. So Jared, scroll down a little bit, and they start talking about all the services that Planned Parenthood gives, right? All of those services. Oh, follow down there, Jared. I want to see what that woman they quoted this morning, what she said about it. Oh, well, there it is. What's it say at the bottom? I'm looking at the wrong screen, Vic. I'm sorry. Let's see. Planned Parenthood has two affiliates in Ohio. They get Title IX fund, operates 19 clinics around the state. Planned Parenthood has to decide whether to connect abortion referrals or forego millions of dollars. So in other words, they spend $60 million a year on things that aren't abortions. Does anybody believe that? They spend $60 million on pap smears and mammograms. By the way, you call our local Planned Parenthood, they don't even do mammograms. They don't even do pap smears. So I don't even know what they're talking about with women's health, right? Women's health. Folks, we've got to break through these lies, okay? We can't allow these lies to continue to be told. Planned Parenthood does not do women's health care. They take hundreds of millions of dollars, your tax dollars, and they funnel it out the back window to politicians who support abortion. That's where the money goes. Hun, did you know this? Did you know that when you, I just got to tell you, you would think, wouldn't you, that abortions would be free? I mean, they're getting Ohio just cut $60 million from our Planned Parenthood. Ohio did. We cut $60 million from their funding. $60 million. Now, you would think for $60 million that the abortions would be free, wouldn't you? What are they doing with that money? Hey, what are they doing with that money? Planned Parenthood's on the ropes. Good news. Jared. Go to courts and abortion. I want to get on these real quick. The courts and abortion. Folks, this thing's coming to a head. It's coming to a head. And if we continue to hide inside of our stained glass fortresses, if we continue to be ambivalent, if we continue to simply pray that God would end abortion, we're not going to end abortion. But Clarence Thomas has really sent him scurrying in his last opinion. This is an article in WorldNet Daily. When Clarence Thomas said, we can no longer, I'm paraphrasing. Clarence Thomas says, we can no longer avoid these questions. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas warned the court and its members must start deciding questions about abortion. What restrictions are constitutional? What should be banned? What is allowed? How can abortion law reflect the current science with 95% of biologists in a recent study concluding life begins at conception? You see that, folks? 95% of doctors believe life begins at conception. Clarence Thomas is the only one with the courage says we can't continue to operate on 1973 science. Biologists tell us life begins at conception. We got to start dealing with it. The issue has become a flashpoint this year with New York adopting a law effectively allowing abortion until birth. That's called murder. That ain't called abortion. That's called murder. And Thomas warned that concerns about the abortion industry, eugenic goals, are not hypothetical. Clarence Thomas is all over it. He says, man, they're killing black babies. He didn't come right out and say that, but that's what he's saying. His comment came after the court overturned a law that ensured deceased unborn infants are provided a proper burial. Do you believe the stuff that we're it's how stupid do you have to be? They're killing babies. It's a baby, and they're killing it. Other laws like to promote a state's compelling interest in preventing abortion from becoming a fool of modern-day eugenics, Clarence Thomas wrote. Uh-oh. Now the Charlotte Lozier Institute, the research arm of Susan B. Anthony List, has released a report of abortion cases poised to land at the Supreme Court. Scroll on down, Jared. We're not going to read all of them, but there's a bunch of them heading towards the Supreme Court. And even though they try to tell us that abortion, Roe versus Wade, is settled law, dudes, they're 14 going down the bottom, Jared. I don't have to go through all. Hey, listen, we got them on the ropes. We got them on the ropes, church. Wake up, church. Right there, Jared. Stop right there. I just saw that number. At least 15 states. At least 15 states have enacted bans on the performance of abortion based on the sex of the unborn child. 14 states have banned it. And may the Supreme Court decline to hear that law. A Fifth Circuit panel in Louisiana affirmed an abortion provider to have admitting privileges at the hospital within 30 miles of his practice. It's all coming down. All coming down. Now's the time to blitz. We're winning this battle. Yeah.
In the chat, real quick, take a look at this. Jared, if he could pull this up, the funding from Baby Parts link, Jared.
Uh-oh.
So as this gets throttled back in Columbus, all the states across the nation, you know, this is kind of a review. You've talked about – no, the other one after that. The other one after that, Jared. So the funding is part of, basically funding the deep state. And we know the blood, spiritual currency, and all that. Jared, can you hear me? Yeah, the funding, it's the next link. There you go. So y'all can take this link after, but right there, the U.S. Select Panel, scroll down. It's right below that. Right there. The U.S. Select Panel. They're investigating the transactions on the sale and purchase of fetal tissue from aborted babies. And Blackburn, right, the bottom line there, Jared, in the article, it's just horrifying. See where it says it's just horrifying? Representative Marsha Blackburn, who leads a House investigation of fetal tissue industry. So there's articles about Trump stopping the purchase for lab investigation. So all the government-funded labs that have been purchasing fetal tissue, they've been paying for the lab, all the equipment. All of our tax dollars have been funding these labs. That's a whole other area that Trump shut down. Now everyone knows about all these body parts being sold that's funding it. This is all in the government. I mean, Coach, it's moving the right way.
It's moving the right way, but it's going to take the church to stand up and be the voice. If the church isn't the voice, if the people sit in the church and continue to be ambivalent about the murder of children, then we're going to get more of the same. Something's happening here. It's heading in the right direction, for sure. Cool. Thanks. Good word, Mark. Thanks for that. Okay. Another great thing. Jared, I want to show you. Go to the next one. Jezebel Spirit. Now, if you've watched this show, this huddle, any length of time, you know we talk a lot about the Jezebel Spirit. Some of you don't even know what the Jezebel Spirit is, and that's okay. But I can't remember who shared this with me. Jared, I want you to start at the 1 minute and 45 second mark. This is Sid Roth's show called It's Supernatural. But they have Dr. Michael Brown on there talking. This is pretty profound. This is what we're dealing with, talking about the Jezebel Spirit. This is going to be two segments. This one's going to be about 3 minutes, and we're going to play another one about 3 minutes. Jared, start this at 1 minute and 45 seconds. Hey, folks, I want you to think principalities and powers. Over control over areas, principalities and powers. And Michael Brown's going to talk about this. I never thought about it. How when Donald Trump was elected president of the United States, how the Jezebel Spirit went nuts. We went to that million lesbian march. Some of you were there with me. We saw how crazy they were, how crazy those feminists became. Folks, it's an awakening of a spirit. Go ahead, Jared, play this.
Testament. You could say she's the most wicked woman in the Bible. She came from a pagan background, married a king of Israel. She was an idol worshiper. She was a seductress. She literally killed the prophets. She silenced and intimidated by fear. She emasculated men. And there was a spirit of witchcraft with her as well. And it helped plunge Israel into destruction. And then Jesus in the New Testament references this false prophetess called Jezebel, probably the name he's giving her. In other words, the same demonic forces, the same demonic.
Folks, there it is, Revelation 2:20, all right? Jesus in the book of Revelation says, you tolerate that woman Jezebel, it's a spirit, folks, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality. That's what the book of Revelation says about Jezebel. Keep going, Jared.
Powers that operated through Jezebel in the Bible, because she even intimidated Elijah the prophet on one occasion. This a spirit upon her, something more than her. Jesus identifies it in the New Testament also as a false prophetess, also as someone who teaches sexual immorality and idolatry. So that's the woman in the
Bible.
So
the spirit on that woman is turned loose today. What's kind of the parallels with today and Jezebel?
So let's look at who she was. You could say that she was an arch radical feminist. We see this like never before. I mean, radical feminists that want to abolish men from the planet. There's not a lot of foresight in thinking like that, but that's what they want to do. And then with idolatry. So she was an idolater. We see the nation plunged into the worship of other gods and consumed with material earthly things. But we know in the ancient world that with idolatry, there was baby killing. We're not just talking about a woman with a difficult situation who wrestles and decides to have an abortion. We're talking about shout your abortion. We're talking about governors defending infanticide. So you've got the spirit of idolatry. You've got the spirit of baby killing. You've got the spirit of radical feminism. She was a seductress. We've got kids as young as 8 years old today getting exposed to pornography. You have that aspect. Then you have witchcraft associated with her. And I've read articles.
Hang on. Hey, folks, we're running into witchcraft more and more and more at the abortion mill. Keep going, Jig.
And documented in the book that there are more witches today in America than Presbyterians. Then you've got more the spirit of fear, the intimidation. And what does she do? She silences.
More witches in America than Presbyterians. That's staggering. Go ahead, Jared.
The prophetic voice. So we don't have it. You can't speak. Everyone's afraid. If I speak, I'm going to lose my job. If pastors are afraid to speak, individuals. So,
but this has really struck home to you, because this spirit of Jezebel came on my friend Mike. He didn't even know it was a sneak attack.
Go to 820.
Took your life.
Go to 820. Go to 820. Talks about Jehu. You ought to read about Jehu in the Bible. Michael Brown's talking about the Jehu spirit. And see if this doesn't make some sense to you as well. Go ahead.
I never thought of that, but the moment he said, I thought, wait a second. Jehu in the Bible, what does it say? He drives recklessly. Some translations, drives like a madman or a maniac. But he did a lot of good. He was zealous for the cause of God, but there was a lot of collateral damage. So you may love the president, but either way, you see this parallel. A Jehu kind of character, an alpha male kind of character. And when he comes on the scene, Jezebel rises up again. And he's the one who ultimately takes Jezebel down. And I document the parallels between Jehu and Trump in the book. And here's what got my attention. When you have someone like Trump, again, whether you like him or not, everyone sees the kind of guy he is, it brings Jezebel up. So the moment President Trump is in, you have this women's march. It's not just lovely women that just, no, blow up the White House. And then you also have with it the extreme baby-killing spirit. Again, we're not talking about someone that struggled and wrestled and should have an abortion. We're talking about shout your abortion. We're talking about pounding on the Supreme Court.
In your face.
Yeah, during the Kavanaugh hearings. What's happened is Trump's pro-life stance, one of the unlikely champion of the pro-life movement, and appointing these justices and laws being passed, it's bringing out, they're saying, this is war. We're going to fight. We're going to take it to the streets. So it's almost as if Jezebel came out from hiding, and there she is for everyone to see. Now, here's the remarkable thing, because we're not talking about a person. We're talking about demonic spirits. We're talking about demons. We're talking about principalities, right? So Jehu sees Jezebel. She tries to seduce him. Once again, there she is, that seductress. And he says, who's on my side? And it says there are two or three eunuchs. So these are castrated males, two or three eunuchs, and they throw Jezebel down. Said that's what has to happen. The castrated males, the men who've had their authority stripped from them, all the sitcoms that just make men into, just, you know, their hell. It's not father knows best. Father is the idiot.
So Jezebel, if I'm hearing you right, it's Jezebel or the spirit of Jezebel coming against a dominant male that stands up for biblical causes.
Exactly.
That's it. That's it. Where have you been hearing that? What have we been talking about here? It's a Jezebel spirit. And can you not see, folks, can you not see that the spirit of feminism, how much they hate masculine Trump? Can't you see it? Can't you understand that the spirit of feminism hates the spirit of masculinity? That's the way I see it. What do you think? Come on in here.
Mic drop.
Right on point.
It's a mic drop.
Yeah, it's a mic drop. That's right. It's right on point. It's exactly what's going on. And isn't it interesting? Dr. Brown said, what do we need? They need the castrated men to stand up, the eunuchs, the men who have lost their stones need to stand up. That's our pulpits. That's our pastors. That's our church leadership. We need to stand up and become masculine.
Exactly. Yeah, Coach.
It's one thing they hate more than anything, a masculine man. Can I tell you something else?
Hey.
Even the church. You ready to say amen? Even the church is fearful of masculine Christian men. Somebody say amen.
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 Right on.
That's right. Your church doesn't want masculine Christian man in there. Why?
Amen, Brock.
I'll add to that, Coach. Hey, Coach. Yeah. Listen, we all know how destroyed the family is, and the men, most people should know how destroyed the men are. You know, I've been doing job searches, looking around and seeing what's out there. You can type in, go on the Indeed website, type in, counseling for men. There's nothing in the state of Pennsylvania. Therapy for men, counseling for men, nothing. You type in counseling or therapy for women, and the list is unending.
Amazing. Amazing, Bobby. Huh? Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir, Randy.
I think the of course, we know the spirit of Jezebel isn't just Hillary Clinton, isn't just one person. It is a spirit that drives many people.
That's
and
right.
just as that is, Coach, I believe the spirit of Jehu is what we have in us. It's not Donald Trump. It might be Donald Trump may have the spirit of Jehu to do what he has to do, but that's what we have in us, Coach, is the same spirit to come against Jezebel and to win.
Amen. Amen.
And to win, not to lose, but to win.
It is the
fight.
The masculine spirit is the perfect counter to Jezebel, folks. That's what it is. And I want you to think about, really and truly, when it gets right down to it, where you go to church or where you used to go to church, who really influences the church more, the men in the church or the women in the church? I don't think there's even any question about it. It's the women in the church. The men, even in the home, the men have dropped their spiritual leadership in the home. The mother sets the spiritual, for the most part, the mother sets the spiritual temperature, the thermostat in the home. The mother does. The mother is pretty much the one who, I rarely, maybe I'm wrong, but rarely have I heard of people leaving church because the husband wanted to. It's usually the woman that wants to leave. And there's this Jezebel feminist spirit that's invaded the church as well. Anybody agree, disagree with that? Any pastors? Any pastors got enough courage to say, yep, it's always those women. It's those women causing all the headaches.
I agree, Coach. That's the agenda that's very prevalent right now. It's all about women.
Well, it's all about being nice and loving, right? See, so you think of Jesus. When you get a picture of if you get a picture of Jesus in your mind right now, What's the image you have of Jesus? Because we're supposed, we're like him. We are his reflection of him. Hang on. Hang on. I'm sorry.
Coach, it's supposed to be this compassion. But you see, they mislabel it. And yesterday, Chad said something that was so astounding. I'd like for him to chime in again. The last part that he said was the loving acceptance. He said something before then that I can't recall it, but the combination of what he said was absolutely a mic drop.
I said, love is a correction. Love is not acceptance.
Amen.
You have your children, do you just let them run amok and go crazy because, well, that's just how they are, Harold. That's just love them and accept that that's, they break bananas, they throw food all over when we go out to eat. They run around the restaurant. You know, that's just children. Let's just accept them. Or do you say, kids, get over here and straighten up and sit down. I'm going to take you in the bathroom and wear your butt out.
Amen.
That's love, is saving them from themselves. That's what love is, in my opinion.
Amen.
Well said. Well said. Hey, Jared, go back to those pictures of Jesus. If you would, Jared's throwing them up on the screen here, because remember, you serve the God you see.
Coach, while he's doing that real quick, I just clicked on the Fox News webpage, and this ought to make everybody crazy. Church makeover, famed TV cathedral reopens as Catholic house of worship after a $72 million renovation.
There That's you all, go.
Right on the front page.
There we go. That's what we need. That's what we need. Okay. Hey, folks, do me a favor. Look at those pictures of Jesus. All right. Now, Jared, type in picture of John the Baptist. See if they have any pictures of him. This is just right off the top of my head. Yeah, they got him kind of feminized too, don't they? He looks a little bit rougher. A little rougher than Jesus. See, we don't have in our mind that Jesus, John the Baptist, was the forerunner. Jesus said, of all those born unto a woman, none was greater than John the Baptist. None. What was he? He was a wild and crazy prophet. Cost him his head, right? Cool. All right.
Coach, one thing before you leave this. So then right now, Alex Jones yesterday was talking about certain phrases, scriptures from the Bible that are being either edited or deleted. This is the next red flag that's coming up. Now they're actually attacking the Bible. They want to go ahead and just modify it. And this runs along with what you're talking about, Jezebel, the compassion, the love, is acceptance, you know, all this crud. This is what they're doing. And it's changing right before our eyes.
It is right before our eyes. It's happening, Vic. Guys like most of you aren't even welcome in your local churches anymore. Yeah, come on in.
Coach, our churches are full of Ahabs. You can't have a Jezebel without a big Ahab in there.
That's right, brother. Ahab was a king who yielded his authority to Jezebel. And was that ever Bill and Hillary Clinton or not, huh?
Coach, think about it. The Bible says that Ahab was more wicked than any other king before him.
Mm.
And Jezebel amplifies the wickedness, Coach, but Ahab carries it out.
And Jesus said in Revelation, what? You guys have tolerated that. You've tolerated that woman. You still tolerate that woman Jezebel.
And he was talking to the pulpits when he said that, Coach, and they still ain't listening.
They're still not listening.
They tolerate, then they accept, then they celebrate.
Mm. Oh, hey, we're training up some pretty good dudes here, guys that can finally think a little bit. Jared, go to my commentary today. I got to read this to you. I wrote today, it all ties together, folks. It all ties together. I'm proud to be white. Although they changed, I'm proud of what God made me white. That's probably a better saying. Some of you think it's racist for me to say that. We've been brainwashed. Am I permitted to be proud of my heritage? Should I cower in fear of the race baiters being triggered by my so non-politically correct statement? Should I be ashamed of my ethnicity? Would America be a better place if all of the pale faces simply retreated inside our log cabins and stroked our coonskin caps? Would America be a better place without Whitey? Perhaps I'm wrong, but it seems like every other ethnic group is encouraged to proudly parade their birth suit and the wonderful heritage that their skin represents. But I'm more than skin, a lot more. As much as it might make the skin color counters nervous, I'm far more influenced by my Christianity than I am by the color of my skin. And although my heritage is one of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, something we used to call a WASP, my heritage is one of Catholicism, a religion that my parents picked for me. I no longer follow the edicts of the church, but have moved on to one of the Heinz 57 brands of what some folks refer to as Christianity. I'm a Christian today by choice. I'm a Caucasian by birth. I know many Christians who are not white, and I know many whites who are not Christians. To simply throw all of us into the same bucket of fish because we all happen to be the same color is just as foolish as assuming that sharks and bluegills have a great deal in common. I'll happily swim in a lake full of bluegills, but will give a great deal of thought before skinny dipping in shark-infested waters. Not all fish are the same, and not all white boys are the same either. Did I tell you I'm proud to be white? Not prouder than a black guy is to be black. Not prouder than a Hispanic to be Hispanic. And certainly not prouder than an Asian to be an Asian. And I'm not ashamed of it either. Have you noticed that many of those who are throwing around the label racist happen to have the same skin color that I have? Last I checked, Nancy Pelosi was white, as is Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, and most of the candidates running for the Democratic nomination. Since they are the ones who are always barking about racism, why doesn't anyone ever accuse them of being racist? Is Nancy Pelosi ashamed to be white? Where did she learn not to be racist? Are all whites racist or just Trump voters? How do you identify a racist? Or does that just come as an add-on to the whole skin color thingy? Did you know that the word racist didn't even exist in 1828? Check it out. Total made-up word invented by the communists in the 1930s to foster division in America. Dr. King famously asked Americans to stop judging by skin color, but by the content of one's character. You'd be surprised how wrong you would be about someone if you just simply judged them by how they looked. Bill Cosby seemed to be a good guy, as did Jeffrey Epstein. Just ask the Clintons. You'd be making a big mistake if you judged either one of them by their birthday suit. Found out recently that my family heritage has a lineage back to a group of Americans called Melungeons. You can read about them here. My ancestors were a mixture of European, African, and Native American. But today, people just call me and my family white. It's easier to label me a racist that way. Look, like I said, some fish are bluegills and some fish are sharks. It's dangerous to judge a book by its cover. It's the same goes for people. I think Nancy
Pelosi. Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
It just tells you how stupid all this stuff is, labeling people by skin color. Because really, to be honest with you, white, you'd be like a sheet. Black, you'd be black as the black sky at night.
Come on, man.
It's stupid. It's stupid.
I think Nancy Pelosi is evil, not because of the color of her skin, but because of the content of her character. I think Ben Carson is a wonderful man for the same reasons. My wife and I raised three children. I think my wife is a Melungeon as well, at least in part. In our house, we never called people nigger or spick or wetback or coon or hunky or wop or chink or dago. We taught our children that all people were created in the image of God, bluegills and sharks, but fish nonetheless. Bottom line, your skin suits are simply containers in which the real you rides around in. Your skin color has nothing to do with what kind of person you become. Our grandchildren have some black friends. We have nieces and nephews who have an Asian mother. I don't think our grandchildren even realize that their cousins and friends don't look like WASPs. Somebody has to point it out to them. And this is what the race baiters do. They point out differences. They divide and conquer. They impugn the content of one's character simply by association with the color of one's skin. They make white children ashamed to be white. In America, every skin color is honored except for white and every religion except for Christian. Well, it doesn't work in my house and shouldn't work in yours. I say a pox upon the house of all those race baiters. Just one small thing. Do Melungeons qualify for minority status? Do my kids miss out on some affirmative action? Is there a way I can collect on my obvious birth defect? Is there some governmental agency that will help me get money out of your pocket? The Melungeon life is a hard life. I'm proud to be white. Don't blame me. I was born this way. There's your
word. What an outstanding, amen. What an outstanding view. That's just so perfect. I can't tell you. God bless you, Coach. That was excellent.
It's another It's another what? Sacred cow. We cannot be afraid to gore. We cannot be afraid to take these on. Now, you can check my email and you get what guy email. You need to get along with the Lord. You're not supposed to be proud. Like they can't even, people can't even, people are humorless. They can't even think.
Coach, it's satanic, Coach. It's Luke 21:10. You're never going to hear it preached behind pulpits. Satan loves to divide us by our skin color, Coach. It's all Satan, and nobody gives him the credit, Coach. Nobody preaches about it, and it's sickening.
No, that's right. And we're in the mess that we're in. By the way, let me throw this up there real quick. Jared, I sent you a link on Melungeons. People say, what? Oh, what? This would be interesting. I wonder how many of you out there are Melungeons. Pull that up there, Jared. Who are Melungeons? This is me. Melungeons, make it a little bigger, Jared. Melungeon is a term first appeared in print in this 19th century used in Virginia and Tennessee. Hey, Trump, you're a Melungeon in North Carolina. Oh, Larry, they're getting close to you. North Carolina, to describe people of mixed ancestry. Melungeons were considered by outsiders to have a mixture of European, Native American, and African ancestry. Researchers have referred to Melungeons and similar groups as triracial isolates. That's me. I'm a triracial. They call me white, though. Are there other groups of people similar to Melungeons? As many 200 different mixed ethnic groups have been identified. Lord, don't let me forget that. They include Chestnut Ridge people, West Virginia, Piscataway of Maryland, the Natchitoches of and Moors of Delaware, the Rampapo of Lenné Nation of New York, New Jersey, the Cubans and Portuguese of North Carolina, and they get on down there to us Buckeyes too. Do these groups all still exist? Well, through intermarriage migration away from their homes, many of these groups have lost their collective identity. Sort of like the Jews! Sort of like the Jews, if you don't mind me saying that. Some groups have a predominantly Indian heritage, have organized as tribes, a few have gained a limited. Others, like the Melungeons, are recognized and celebrating their unique multi. That'd be me. What does the word Melungeon mean? Well, it's a French word. Going down, who cares what it means? Dark skins, cursed soul. What do Melungeons look like?
Hey, Coach.
They look like me. They look like me.
Hey, Coach, I might be Melungeon.
You might be a Melungeon. That's right, buddy. You might be. How do people know who's Melungeon? We don't know. We don't know, but here's some of their names. Collins, Gibson, Mullins, Goins, Bunch, Bolin, Trump. Trump's got to be in there some way. He's certainly a Melungeon. Dobbenmeyer, Wiltshire. Yeah, we're in there. Where do they live? Well, here's where they live. They lived in the Carolinas, huh? They crossbred. And they look at that. And they made it as far as Eastern Ohio. That'd be me. That'd be Michelle. What sort of discrimination did they face? I go on and on and on.
Great. Coach, my father's grandmother was an Indian. My father's grandmother was an Indian.
Your father's grandmother was a Melungeon. So, Jared, pull up a picture real quickly, Jared. I don't know how I got on this. Pull up pictures of Melungeons, Jared. Just Google Melungeon picture. There we are. Abe Lincoln was a Melungeon. Put him up there, Jared. Honest Abe was a Melungeon. He was a mixed breed. See, folks, not all white people are pure white. Not all blacks are pure blacks. Not all Jews are pure Jews. There ain't nobody pure. There ain't nobody. Because if there was a chosen race based on blood alone, there'd be something seriously wrong with the gospel, in my humble opinion. If there aren't any pure Melungeons, there aren't any pure Jews. I know some of you are upset. I'm just telling you the way I see it. There they are. They're my uncles. Click on one of those, Jared. I don't know this. Click on one of them. Pick a guy out. Pick a man's face. Elvis Presley. There's one of my uncles. That's Michelle's uncle. I can tell you that. Is he white? Is that guy white? We're so stupid. Okay. Help me wind down here. I've been all over the place this morning. Anybody? Any other Melungeons out there?
Hey, Coach, you're nothing but a hound dog, brother.
I ain't nothing but a hound dog crying all the time. Elvis was a Melungeon. Abe Lincoln was a Melungeon.
I don't know if I qualify as a Melungeon. I'm Arabic, I'm Jewish, and I'm Mexican. So take your pick.
You're like Bigfoot. You're the one of a kind. You're the Bigfoot. Yeah. You know, I said tongue in cheek, I wonder if I can go back and get some reparations. I was a minority my whole life and didn't even realize it. Nobody told me I was. Nobody told me that I was.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
That just goes back to what I said earlier about everything, like all this labeling is so stupid. It's really the way to divide us and conquer us. That's what all this is.
All it's about, brother. It's all about. And so what do we have today, Paul? We have black churches and white churches. Are there any Melungeon churches? I want to find me a Melungeon church. Are there any Asian churches? Are there any of those? And see, we've just fallen and along, we have just fallen in line with the left's division. We just follow along. The church just picks it up. The church just picks it up and follows right along with the left everywhere we go. We copy the left. And the left knows we copy the left. And so they continue to bombard and infiltrate as we sit in the pews and pray. We sit in the pews and pray. Okay, so here we go. I'm doubling back. We got some work to do, my friends. We got some work to do. I'm going to tell you this. It's not going to be pleasant work. Because the Bibles tell us this. I'm sorry I haven't read more scripture today. The Bible tells us this. That your enemies are going to be those of your own household. When you begin to speak some of the truths that we're discussing here on the show, not just today, but every day. When you begin to speak those truths, you're going to find out that those who are going to resist you the most are the ones that who are number one in your personal family and number two, your church family. Those are the ones who are going to resist against it. Oh, I got one right here I was going to pull up. I don't have time today. Maybe I'll use this tomorrow. A great article on the 14 books that the Roman Catholics removed from the original Bible. Heard anything about that, boys and girls? No. So we all fight a battle of containment. What the enemy wants, what the Satan wants more than anything, he don't mind if you go to church. He don't mind if you open this book. He don't even mind if you read this book. But the last thing he wants you to do is to bring this book and its precepts out into the world where he lives. That's the last thing that he wants. Facebook just yesterday admitted that they want to ban Bible verses from Facebook. They don't want to ban Quran verses. They don't want to ban evolution verses. They want to ban Bible verses from Facebook. We are in a literal hot war for our children and our grandchildren, and most of us have no concept of it, no idea, no understanding. There are those of you out there right now, I'm not trying to make you mad, I love you, I'm telling you the truth. You are sending your children to be indoctrinated by the workers of iniquity, the devil's children indoctrinating your kids in public school, and you pay for it. Then take them to youth group on Wednesday night. We're in a mess. Help me close it out. I'm all over the place today. Where my spirit is this morning. I'm all over the place. Somebody come in here. Don't leave me hanging.
Dave, if I can come in here one more time, let's chat again. Get back to our brigade meetings or anything like that. Please go on the Coach Dave event page. There's all the contact information. So if you're in Texas or Louisiana or whatever, or if you're around Ohio or if you're around Oregon, or you're around Wisconsin, you're around North Carolina, if you're around Florida, we want to meet up with you. We want to encourage you to join us. You think like we do. You do. That's why you're listening to the show. That's why you're on Before It's News. We want you to get plugged in. So contact, there's somebody in there in your area that's doing what you want to be done. If not, contact us and we'll get you started in the area. So that's all I got. Amen.
Amen, Chad. Amen, Chad. All right, folks. See how much courage you have. Take that article, I'm Proud to Be White, and forward it to everyone on your email list and see what kind of pushback you get.
I'll do it.
Your enemies are going to be those of your own household. I'm proud to be a Melungeon. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.